Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
Impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back. It's hour three of In This League on FNTS. Why? See, I did that clean. The Welsh has been messing up the entire show, Casey. The entire show, he's like, welcome back to In This League on Fantasy Football. Nope, on FNTSY. So I did it clean there. So very few times I'm going to host better than the Welsh. But at the top right there is good. And Casey Bubba is back with us for hour three. We are going to do props. We're going to talk a lot of football. But you got to understand real quick that we are, you know, the Welsh and I are Diamondbacks fans. Casey is a Giants fan, right?
Yes, born and raised a Giants fan, and yes, it's a great day to be a losing baseball team.
That's right. So we all hate the Dodgers so much, so we just have to go over this terrible, horrible, no-good loss that they had. They're up 3-1, everyone's feeling good, all that stuff, and then back-to-back homers, Rendon, and then Soto to tie it off of Clayton Kershaw with the choker sign. Ah, just amazing. So, I mean, my tweet that I sent out was, now I will draft Howie Kendrick in the last round of all of my drafts because he hit the grand slam. So, I mean, did you have any tweets, and did you get any interaction with Giants fans? Because I was kind of surprised that I didn't.
Oh, no, I had a ton of fun. I some people get mad at me at times because I'll tweet too much during games. Like, I'm not the play-by-play guy, but I will critique things very, very lively when I can. And let's just say I had a great time last night, a really, really good time. Like, there were times when my thumbs couldn't work fast enough. It was a beautiful thing. If people go to @BDentrick on Twitter, you can see a great picture of Clayton Kershaw doing his normal playoff pose after a home run or two. It's a tradition unlike any other. Go check that one out. I'll be honest about it, though, and I know we talked about it before, is I do have Dodger friends. I felt horrible for them after I enjoyed it for about a day. But it's a tough way to go when you have a boneheaded manager. But the Dodger fans that interact with me, I'd say at least a quarter of them were very civil and very basically agreeing with most things I had to say about how bad their manager is. And it couldn't have went any better when you have Kershaw of all people giving it up to Rendon and Soto. It was amazing. I wish I could do it again. I could never have envisioned it. I never would have drawn this up in a million years. Actually, I probably could have envisioned Kershaw giving up home runs, but not in that style. It was really, really great. And I would say I wish we could see it again, but we can't because they got eliminated.
Yeah, you know, it's been 31 years for the Dodgers since they won a World Series, 1988, the last time. And, you know, I sometimes feel bad that the Diamondbacks haven't been back to the World Series since 2001. And I was there at Game 7, by the way. No big deal, just so everybody knows. I don't know, man. The Dodgers, listen, this is an every Dodger fan. This is a select group of Dodger fans that come and invade your stadium, act like huge jackasses, and then leave. And it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. You know what I mean? And I was there at the Diamondbacks last playoff run when Yu Darvish just smoked them. You know, Yu Darvish looked amazing. And he held it all for the Diamondbacks and then couldn't get an Astro out. So I was happy about that, of course. But you know, it's just the way it goes. And Dave Roberts, it seems like whatever move he makes is wrong. You know what I mean? And it's, I know a lot of it's boneheaded. I mean, putting in Joe Kelly when you have Kenley Jansen. And I know Kenley Jansen hasn't had the greatest year and all that stuff, but you got to put him in. You're paying him so much money. This is a time. It's time to go, you know. And I think, I mean, I don't know, though. Like, if Kenley Jansen goes in and blows that game, do you, does he get as much crap, or is he getting more because it's Joe Kelly?
It's because it's Joe Kelly. It was Joe Kelly. It was using Maeda for one pitcher, or for one hitter. It was not using Julio Urias, who's been great out of the bullpen. Like when Juan Soto comes up, they've been using Urias, or I'm apologizing now, they had the lefty specialist they've used every time against him. He never pitched last night. There was just so many ways to go about it. And when you look at Dave Roberts, I've always questioned some of his decisions. And I've had some of my Dodger friends say, yes, but they still like him, so on and so forth. But like last night, for a team that thrives on analytics and they like Dave Roberts because he's an analytical mind, in his post-game press conference, he flat out said he went with Kershaw more because he trusts Kershaw and he had a feeling on Kershaw, not because what the analytics said, even though the analytics were probably wrong in this situation, and that he wanted to use Kershaw for Rendon and Soto, and then he'll go. Then he was going to go to the bullpen after that. So mind-blowing stuff. Don't know what's going on there. To your initial, like I said, I can go tangents on this, and I was so excited about it last night. But the point about Kelly, it's like you got a 1-2-3 inning out of Kelly. I know I tweeted it out immediately, and then Sporer was right after me. We're on the same page here. It's like you got three outs, get him out of there, because we know how quickly this explosion can happen. And he did. He never got an out before Kendrick went deep, and then he was out of the game. It was that quick. If Kenley Jansen blows it, as bad as he's been, it's fine, because at least you went to your closer. You have no other save situation coming up. It's the 10th inning, and you are the home team. What are you saving him for? It was – if I'm a Dodgers fan, I literally want him gone. I'd want him gone.
Did you see the guy rip off his Clayton Kershaw jersey, run down the steps, and throw it over the wall?
No, that's just Bush League immaturity.
That's stupid. He got people, you there. You know, yeah, come on.
I hate people that burn jerseys, and as much as I give – you know, I give a hard time for Clayton Kershaw. I've been the first to say it on many shows that I've hosted or been on. I respect the age out of Clayton Kershaw. Like, I think he is one of the best pitchers I will ever see in my lifetime. He is that good. He's just somehow had bad misfortune in the playoffs. And if you're an opposing fan and you can't have fun with it, then what's the point of sports? When people get mad at me, I'm not trying to be ill-hearted and like mean. I'm just having a fun joke out of it. I guarantee you, if Barry Bonds would have struck, hey, I actually still hear about Barry Bonds never won a championship. So like, and I'm a Dolphins fan. Marino, hello. I am used to getting pooped on. So this is part of the game. It's part of having fun with sports. And Kershaw is still great. It sucked. It was sad to see him sitting by the dugout all by himself. Those pictures that went viral, like that's rough to see. But hey, there's something to be said about it. Just saying.
I'm not a Giants fan, you know, and I know you're not a D-backs fan. And the Giants and D-backs have had some nice wars. I remember 1998, first year of the franchise. I'm sitting in the stadium. And Todd Stottlemyre is pitching. This is, you know, Todd Stottlemyre Jr., of course. He's pitching. And Charlie Hayes, you remember Charlie Hayes, of course, right?
Yep, good old Chucky. Yep.
He's standing on third. And Stottlemyre looks at him. I don't see his lips move. I don't see anything. It's kind of far away. Maybe he said something and I didn't see it. Whatever. Hayes just attacks him, runs off of third towards Stottlemyre, and they get in a fist fight. And I'm like, what the hell is happening here? And that was kind of, you know, one of the first, obviously, the Rockies are a big rivalry, and they opened up, you know, Chase Field, which was Bank One Ballpark then. And, you know, Todd Helton hit three homers in the pool or whatever it was. So actually, I think the first homer into the pool was by Mark Grace, but he was a Cub. So,
oh, wow. It's only fitting that Gracie got confused.
Yeah. He's run a baseball and a couple cars into a pool, I'm pretty sure.
So. He's done a few things in a pool that he got confused about, probably. So.
All right. I've got a lot of baseball coming up this week. I'm doing Arizona Fall League. Stars game. Yeah. I'm going to go see our buddy Spore when we're done recording here. So it's going to be a fun weekend for me for sure. But let's talk about some football. And you had a good week, Mr. Bubba, last week. You were 7-7 against the spread, so .500. You were 9-5 on the over-unders. This was the first week I was under .500 on over-unders. I was 6-8. And your props, you were 24-17 on. So not bad. That's a pretty damn good week. There's not nearly as much red as there usually is on this thing. So
yeah, it looked nice. It looked almost more like a real Christmas tree.
So let's go over what happened last week before we look at the games this week. And last week we started out with probably the best Thursday night football game that we've ever seen. The Seahawks beat the Rams 30-29 on that Greg Zuerlein missed field goal.
Yeah, that was a wild one. It was a great game. It's something we see a lot with those matchups. Russell Wilson just keeps getting it done, which is darn impressive. Jared Goff, it's not pretty, but I think people need to stop, you know, ragging him too much. He's still very, very good when it happens. But out of all people to miss the field goal, Greg, the third leg, it was pretty crazy to see. That guy's just a bomber.
Yeah, he's just not accurate. And I don't think he's good in pressure situations. I think he's missed a couple of those big kicks. So I actually called it. I was doing my Thursday night football stream, and I said, he's going to miss this. He is definitely 100% shanking this, and then it happened. So I felt like Nostradamus, and then the rest of my picks are terrible. The Steelers lost to the Ravens in overtime, and I mean, Mason Rudolph got knocked dead, you know, limp noodle on the field. Devlin Hodges, who in Pittsburgh is known as Duck Hodges, by the way, came in, didn't look bad. Tomlin made the decision to kick the ball in overtime, and I don't know if you saw that, but it actually worked. The Steelers held the Ravens to a three and out, and but of course Juju fumbled, and Justin Tucker's not missing a field goal inside 55 yards, so Ravens win in this one. What do you see in this game?
Yeah, this is one of those, I was seriously concerned for your boy when he nearly got killed, it seemed like. But somehow I was practicing already. Not sure about that one. That was wild. But what I saw is Lamar Jackson still looking very human. Just going to throw that out there. And the most important thing is even with Duck back there, Juju was a part of the offense, Boggs, and I know that has got to make you feel a little good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think, to be honest, Devlin Hodges might be better than Mason Rudolph. I would not be shocked by that. He was the FCS leader in passing yards at Samford, state champion duck caller. That's why they call him Duck, by the way. I think the offense is going to be okay with him. I don't think it can get worse, I guess, is what I'm saying. And, you know, get a working cart, for God's sake. What are you doing in Pittsburgh? Jesus. Chicago at London, Chicago at Oakland in London. The Raiders come away with this win somehow, 24-21. Shocked me. I was very surprised.
It shocked me as well, as you can tell by me picking Chicago, but it was good to see Josh Jacobs get his. It's just another one of those game flow dictated matchups for Josh Jacobs there. I think Chicago just kind of sleptwalked. They were in London, and it just didn't work out for him.
Arizona at Cincinnati. The Cardinals win this one on a walk-off field goal. The Bengals, the escalator of sadness is about a third filled right now.
Shocker, another Arizona field goal. It's unbelievable what's going on there. But biggest takeaway is DJ's banged up. Keep an eye on that one. We could get some Chase Edmonds. And we're seeing Kyler Murray use his legs a little more each week.
I was most confident in the under in the Carolina and Jacksonville game because you have a battle of two quarterbacks. Well, it goes way over. The over was 41. They scored, what would that be, 61 points in this game. And you got the over right. You went over, and you picked, that should be red. Or that should be green. Carolina did win. So
yes,
that's what
did.
So 8-6 against the spread, even better. That's what I get for doing this at 2 a.m. So what did you see in this one?
The fact that Run CMC is unstoppable as long as he doesn't get hurt. He's just absolutely amazing what he did in that game. And Leonard Fournette, people need to start respecting him more. Like, there's buzz about him, but he's a workhorse. When healthy, he's going to be a top-end running back. And it was great to see a battle of those two go at it.
Minnesota over the Giants, 28-10. The Vikings win this one.
Yeah, the greasy wheel, they got their fix. Thielen went off. Cousins looked good, but it was the Giants. So let's see what they do this week.
How about New England at Washington? I mean, this one was the pounding that we all expected. 33-7, Jay Gruden got fired.
Yeah, Gruden's out, which is great to see. The New England did whatever they wanted. It was close early, blew them out late. I don't know what else you could expect here. It's pretty much business as usual for the New England Patriots.
God, I screwed up another one. You had the over on Thielen yards. Of course you got that one. I'm all over the place. How about the Jets? The Jets at Philly. Philly 31-6 over the Jets, led again by Luke Falk. No Sam Darnold.
Yeah, Luke Falk getting no first team snaps, then just gets destroyed by Philadelphia. Absolutely brutal. for the Jets, but Darnold is back. Philly, they're still looking good, but let's see them. When they face big matchups, it hasn't been quite the same. In Minnesota this week could be tricky.
You hit every single thing on this game. New Orleans, the over in all three props. The Saints over the Bucks, 31-24.
Yeah, it was good to see Teddy Bridgewater actually throwing the ball downfield. Michael Thomas went off. And Tampa Bay, you know, Winston's not sexy, but he keeps getting it done to Mr. Chris Godwin.
Yeah, I mean, Godwin is the number one scoring wide receiver right now. It's insane. They're going to have to roll coverage to him. And then look out, because Mike Evans is going to go nuts. The Falcons lose to the Texans 53-32. Neither one of these teams played any defense.
Yes, and there's one guy I think I've been talking about a lot this year. Will Fuller went bananas. Oh. It was awesome. It was awesome.
Yeah, I'm getting no luck in my college fantasy leagues, but in my NFL leagues, I'm getting all the luck. I think I played one share of Fuller against one share of Fuller. That was it.
Not bad.
Yeah,
not
bad. I mean, that's escaping. Buffalo at Tennessee in what might be the most boring game of the year, 14-7. Buffalo wins it.
Buffalo somehow is like 4-1, I think. But yeah, it's not pretty.
Denver beats the Chargers. They decide they want to be good this week out of nowhere, 20-13.
Eckler still got 15 catches. Gordon ground attack. We'll have to see how that keeps playing out. But more injuries to that Chargers front line. And it's going to be tough for my boy Rivers going forward.
Ellen and the Packers go into Dallas and beat the Cowboys 34-24. What do you see here outside of Aaron Jones' four scores?
Yeah, Aaron Jones went full Gettysburg on that place, and it was absolutely amazing. So, the Packers are legit, folks. Like, people, they got off to a slow start, but they're pretty darn good.
Indy at KC, ugly one. The Indy wins 19-13.
Indy's going to be very good this year, just not from a fantasy football perspective.
And Cleveland, 31-3, they lose to the Niners.
Yeah, the Browns are horrible. The Niners are 4-0 and have a tough task this week, but Tevin Coleman came back, looks really, really good.
All right, that wraps up our review of week 5. We are moving on to week 6. I feel like Belichick. We're moving on to week 6. So we are going to hit a break, and we'll be right back to go to week 6.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In this league.
Welcome back. It's the final hour of In This League on FNTSY. I'm here with my buddy, Casey Bubba. You can find him on the Twitter at BDNTrick. He does the Bench with Bubba pod. You do the Fan Tracks DFS pod. You just got done recording that. What'd we hear on that?
It's going to be a very fun week. Had a special guest, friend of mine and friend of many, Chris Meany from The Athletic, joined me on there to break it all down, the 10-game main slate. It's going to be a fun week. You got the high totals we'll talk about here with the Chiefs game, with the Cardinals game and a few others, but also some sneaky spots to attack. So come join us, and we have a cash game lineup we build at the end of each week. We're 3-1 so far, trying to go to 4-1 this week, so come join us. Tons of fun.
And that sounds great. I mean, Chris Meany is just the nicest guy in the world, right?
Yeah, he's amazing, and I could have sat there and talked to him forever afterwards, but I had more important things to do, like talk to Mr. Scott Bogman of the ITL company. But Meany is just one of the most genuinely nice guys and smart, super smart. Like, I know this isn't a hockey podcast, so I don't need to plug everything, but if you like hockey, go check out Chris Meany. Like, that guy is one of the smartest hockey guys I know, and there's not a lot of hockey coverage out there.
He's the only person that I know that covers just as much stuff as I do. Like, I just flip, you know, and it's crazy that he does more sports, because I flip hockey for college football, but I don't know how you keep up with hockey and basketball when they're running at the same time. That drives me nuts.
Yeah, at least baseball, football and stuff, it's all separate, like you're saying, but you throw hockey in there and that's just a mess.
Yeah, there's a little crossover with basketball, but I mean, it's not, you know, the NBA and NHL season are literally on top of each other. So that's crazy stuff. But let's get into this week. We've got the London game. I know I'm going to be sleeping for it, Bubba. I don't know about you. I ain't getting up at 6:30 even to watch my boy CMC. I love him, but that is too early for my ass. 2.5, Carolina is the favorite, and 47.5 is the over. What do you see in this one?
Yeah, I'm surprised you're not getting up to see CMC. Then again, I know you don't get up until about 10:30 or 11 if on a good day.
That's right.
So I see Carolina getting it done here. I know it's always tough with London games. Who shows up? Like, the Bears didn't show up last week, but I really do like Kyle Allen is just looking good back there. Give me Carolina. Give me the over. London craziness yet again.
All right, so CMC with the back injury, you know, everyone made the joke. It's because he's carrying the team, all that stuff.
True.
I'm just going to dive in here. Total yards, I'm going to put it at 155 because it seems like he's at 160 every week. I take 5 yards off because they're traveling to London and he's a little banged up.
It's like you kind of almost have to take the over every time until he proves you wrong. So I'm going to take the under this week, though.
The under?
Yeah, I'll take the under this week. I think he might. I'm not saying he's like not going to get the workload he gets, but I'll take the under. I hope it's over for all my CMC shares, but I'll take the under this week.
Yeah, he'll get 70 and 70, and you'll still win that.
And three touchdowns. We'll be good.
Chris Godwin receiving yards. I mean, once again, you have to bump it up here. I'm going to stick it at 80.
Yeah, I'll take the over again. I think he's got another double-digit target week ahead of him, finding the end zone. Big Chris Godwin week and yet again.
Ronald Jones or Peyton Barber, more PPR points?
Neither. No.
pass.
Wow, that's a rough one. Yeah, I guess if we gunned ahead, Peyton Barber.
Barber. Okay.
It's brutal either way. I think Ronald Jones more out of the back, running it out of the backfield. Barber passing game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Barber got the touchdown last week, and there's so many of these aggravating ones. You know, at least in Denver, you can use both those guys. You know what I mean? So that's nice. Freeman is way more of a flex, and Lindsay's more of an RB2.
Because Denver, you know it's going to be 50-50. They're not changing that, but at least they're getting it, and they're going to, like, for that whole drive, they're not going to take him in and out. So you know you're going to get it.
Philly.
Tampa Bay and Philly, it's like, what in the world are you guys doing?
Philly, it's been, last week was literally split down the middle in snaps and touches, but Howard got in the end zone, and he got in the end zone 3 times the previous week. So not a surprise. I think, you know, I don't like Howard at all, but I think you got to lean towards him. Cincinnati at Baltimore. Casey, Baltimore is an 11.5 point favorite here. The over is 48. This one, it seems like an easy one, but maybe not if you're looking hard.
I'm going to take Cincinnati and the over. Baltimore should win comfortably, but at the same time, their defense isn't great, and that back door should be open all day for good old Dalton and company to come through in the end.
I mean, I'm going to be a Bengals fan this weekend because that would kind of bring the entire division. I mean, the whole division sucks anyway. Baltimore's not good, but they're better than Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and Cincinnati. Mark Ingram rush yards in this game. I'm going to put it high at 90.
I'm going to take the over. I think he goes for over 100 this week. They should, if they're smart, just pound it with them, and you can get some explosive plays on this Bengals defense.
Tyler Boyd receptions, I'm going to set it at 6.
I'll take over. I think he had 13 or 14 targets last week with no Ross. He's always been a heavy part of this offense. Over.
Joe Mixon total yards. This one has been difficult. He had 90 rush yards last week, but that was against that porous Arizona Cardinals defense. So I'm going to put his total yards at 85 against the Raptors.
I'm going to take the over, and I'm really hoping it's because he gets more involved in the passing game. They need to use Mixon. It is ultra tilting how they're screwing up a talented running back like Joe Mixon.
Yeah, they just have no offensive line. You know, it's and it's funny that there's going to be offensive linemen in this draft, but the Bengals have the opposite of what's coming out in this draft, right? There's tons of skill position, and they've got that pretty much covered, especially if they stick with AJ Green, which they say they're going to. Seattle at Cleveland. Seattle is a 1.5 point road favorite. The over is 46 here. How do you see this one going?
Man, I Cleveland, you never know which one you're going to get. They were so bad on Monday night. This wouldn't shock me if they get it done, but I'm taking Seattle. I think Russell Wilson and this Seahawks team is the real deal. They're going to be a wild card contender this season. And I'll take the over in this one as well.
I mean, if the Rams don't shape up,
they could win the West.
Yeah, Seattle could be. I mean, it's the opposite of the North, right? The Niners, the Rams, the Seahawks, and who am I forgetting?
Cardinals. How do you forget that? Come on.
Well, because they're forgettable. This division is going to be a fun one to watch, and all three of those teams are good, whereas no one's good in the North, of course. Chris Carson rush yards, I'm going to put it at 90 this week, and he got Penny was back, and he still got way, way, way more snaps last week.
It was great to see him get the heavy workload with Penny back. We saw the Niners run all over Cleveland. I'll take the under. If it was total yards, I'd take the over, but I'll take the under in 90 rush yards.
Baker Mayfield passing yards 250. By the way, is there anything better than Nick Bosa doing the flag wave celebration after sacking Baker Mayfield? The answer is no.
No, it's not. Like, there's part of me where he goes, okay, if that really stuck with you that long, it's kind of sad. At the same time, I get why it stuck with you, and I'm all for celebrations like that. That was absolutely amazing.
250 pass yards for Baker. Can he get that against Seattle?
I'll take the over. I will. I think he might hit OBJ for a couple big ones.
That sounds like a begrudging over right there. And if he hits OBJ for a couple big ones, I put his receiving yards at 65 because I think I think it was under 70 for the first 3 weeks, then the huge one of like 161, and then, back under 70 or whatever it was last week. So how do you see him going over too?
I'm going over. I think this is kind of the greasy wheel thing, like we saw with Thielen and company last week. I think OBJ gets fed this week.
Houston at Kansas City. Kansas City still a 4.5-point favorite coming off that ugly loss and the highest over of the week at 55 points. This one, look, Deshaun Watson threw 5 touchdowns last week, but Atlanta didn't get a quarterback hit. I think they had 1 quarterback hit and no sacks against Houston. That was the second time in Deshaun Watson's career he has not been sacked. And the other time was 2 years ago against your Dolphins. So it was surprising to see that happen. Atlanta's pass rush is just absolutely non-existent. Houston is a different story. And Patrick Mahomes a little bit banged up. I don't know if I'm going to take the Texans in this game, but I think I'm definitely taking the under. How do you see this one playing out?
A, not cool with the Dolphins reference. B, I'm taking Chiefs in the over. One thing we're going to see this week, Mahomes is banged up, but what he talked about after their game last week is the Colts and the Lions did what the Patriots did, was play man defense against them. What's Houston play? A nice, fluffy zone. And Tyreek Hill could be back. So I think Mahomes is going to have some fun this week.
Deshaun Watson pass yards 275 against that Chiefs defense, who, while they're bad, at least they lost Chris Jones. So he's going to miss this game with a groin injury. Not looking good for that defense at all right now.
I'll take the over with Watson. He's spreading it around so well. Fuller, D-Hop and company. I'll take the over.
I didn't put it on here, but what if you were doing a prop bet, how many yards would you set Will Fuller at this week?
Like 65-ish. Like, I'm telling people to play D. Hopkins and fade Fuller this week because everyone and their mom's going to play Fuller, so it's a leverage play. But Fuller's that guy that could take the top off of defense at any moment, so you wouldn't be shocked.
LeSean McCoy touches. I'm going to put it at 10. It may seem low, but he got benched last week because he whiffed on a block and he fumbled early and Damian Williams was back. So they just let Damian Williams handle the rock and McCoy didn't do much at all. So 10 is the touches I'm putting it at. Some people may think that's high. I think that's fair, though.
It's very fair. That's a really, really good number. I'll take the over in this one. But I don't feel great about it. Let's put it that way.
It does make you feel queasy having to rely on a back for Kansas City, or in at least a back that has decent guys around him and is coming off maybe one of the worst games of his career. Carlos Hyde total yards. I'm going to put this at 100. Kansas City, he's got to do a lot of this early, I understand, because if Kansas City gets rolling, like you said, the Tyreek Hill train, if he comes back, and if not, Byron Pringle or whoever, Travis Kelce, starts going nuts, they're going to have to throw the ball a ton. But they are soft up front. The Chiefs are. They are soft up front. So I'm going to put it at 100. What do you think?
It's a really good number. I'm going to take the under. But, man, there's a lot of people talking up high this week. I just think it becomes more of a shootout that they're going to need to use Duke Johnson and company.
What would I have to put it at for you to take the over? If I put it at 75, would you have taken the over?
Yeah, 75 to 80-ish, I'd take the over. Because I think they are going to try to establish the run and keep Casey off the field. That makes total sense. But eventually, I think Kansas City starts clicking again.
Yeah, and that it's gonna be interesting to see how that one plays out. I love that the Steelers are on Sunday Night Football again this week because it means I get to watch the Red Zone all day. Love it. New Orleans to Jacksonville. Jags are 1.5 point favorites in this game. 43.5. Another battle of backup quarterbacks. I picked the under in the game for Jacksonville last week. Gardner Minshew threw 340 yards in my face. So I don't know. I'm not confident in my pick this week on this game. How do you see this going?
It's Minshew mania running wild in Jacksonville. Give me Minshew and company and the over in this one.
Jags in the over. I love it. So I'm guessing a lot of this is going to go over then. Leonard Fournette, rush yards, I said at 85.
Yeah, he's going over. Over for sure. He'll hit the century mark yet again this week.
I love it because, I mean, New Orleans has been stopping the run. I think they're sixth in the league against the run. So they've been good, but they haven't seen Fournette yet. So Michael Thomas receptions, I'm going to put it at 6.5, give you the hook. So you have to go either over or under here.
I'll take the over. It's a really good number, but Bridgewater is just forcing it to Thomas over and over again, so I'll take the over.
I mean, that's probably what I would do. I'd be hitting him on the deep routes and Kamara on the short routes. Yep. Just get it to my playmakers. And Teddy Bridgewater pass yards, 250 I set this at. I mean, I guess if you're going over, that might be low, huh?
It's a tough one because I Teddy Bridgewater, I'll take the over just because I think it's going to be a lot of dinking and dunking. But, you know, with Thomas and Kamara's ability to break them, it'll help. The yak, if it includes yak like it does, over 250.
So where are you putting Teddy this week as far as quarterbacks go? Is he QB2? Is he a desperate play? Like, how do you see him playing out?
We got to remember it's a short week with buys. So we have 13 games total, 14 games this week, I guess.
Yeah.
So you have 28 quarterbacks for 12 team league. I'd probably have him just outside a QB1. I'd have him around 12 or 13 because I still do respect the weapons he has and the fact they show they want to throw it downfield. That's all I need. People forget how good Bridgewater was before these injuries and how many people wanted him to be a backup. Like the Saints paid for Teddy Bridgewater. There was no hiding that. The
Vikings wanted him to be a starter.
That's my point. Like people know how good he is. Now, could he lay an egg? Sure. But I think he's better than people are giving him credit for. I just don't know if New Orleans completely wants to unleash it yet.
1,000% agree. And, you know, people were concerned about him not being able to push it downfield and all that stuff. I think those fears are basically over here. But moving on, Philly at Minnesota. Minnesota is favored by 3. The over is 44 in this one. These two teams match up very nicely because it's strength on strength. It's the Vikings are great at running the ball. The Eagles are good at stopping the run, but they're terrible against the pass. So Cousins could get more involved here. They should at least game plan for that, you'd think. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, this give me Minnesota and give me the over. Not by much, though. It's like a 24-21 type feel to it.
So Dalvin Cook total yards, I'm going to set it at 100.
That's a good one because the Philly rush D is great, but I think they're going to use him as a passing game as well. So total yards, I'll take the over 100.
Alshon Jeffrey draws a tough matchup against Rhodes. 4.5 for receptions for him.
I'm going to go under. I think we see a lot of Ertz this week. We see some more Miles Sanders out of the passing game and maybe some Aguilar rejuvenation again.
Jordan Howard touchdowns. He had 3 and then 1. I'm just going to put it at 1 here. Minnesota's defense is good. How do you see him going this week?
I'm going to go under. I think he finds the goose egg this week.
Does Miles Sanders get in?
No, I think it's going to be Zach Ertz.
Okay, it's all Ertz all the time this week.
Yeah, that's my plan.
Okay, how about your game here? We can get this one done before the break. Washington -3.5 at your Dolphins. They did have a week to rest here. Washington, a 3.5 point favorite. The over is 41 points.
Give me Washington and the under.
Washington and
that's mainly because I want to keep the number one pick. Actually, it could be a 3-point game. Give me Miami, actually, because they're going to lose by a field goal.
They're going to lose by a field goal. Okay.
Yeah, Miami loses by a field goal on the under.
Got Case Keenum coming back this week. My guy Colt, he had 1 week and it was against the Pats. Come on, man. Give him a break. Case Keenum pass yards. I got 250.
I'll take the under on that one.
Under that staunch Dolphins defense coming in hot.
No, it's more Case Keenum.
He was throwing for like 300 yards and stuff before. I mean, they were playing from behind a bunch. Adrian Peterson rush yard 60.
I'll take the over because all they want to do is run the ball now, apparently, under this new regime.
Devontae Parker receiving yards at 65.
That's a really, really good number. I'll take the over. He'll probably get about 75 or 80 this week.
Yeah, you know, I think it's tough for me to convince the Welsh to take any Dolphins players at all. But I like Parker, and I want to see what Mark Walton does this week. But yeah. We got to go to break. So we're going to go to break, and we're going to be back for the final segment of In This League on FNTSY. So stick with us here. We'll be right back.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends
in the... In this league.
In the dark.
It's the last segment of In This League on FNTSY here for the day. It was a fun one here with Casey Bubba and the Welsh. I mean, looking at this, what's the biggest thing that has surprised you so far in this NFL season?
Wow, the biggest surprise this NFL season, you look at teams like Green Bay actually playing defense. That's quite a surprise there.
Spent a lot of money on it.
Yeah, spent a lot of money. But, hey, sometimes you got to throw money at things to shine up a pig. It's amazing how it works. Arizona, that hasn't worked out quite as planned as people were hoping for. And then you look at we kind of talked about earlier, the NFC West, it's no joke. It's really, really good football. It's not like it's boring, you know, smash mouth football. It's really good football, really competitive football, and it's good to see it back in action like that.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised by the talk of firing so many coaches, and I guess I shouldn't be, because that's kind of the culture that we live in, you know, instant gratification, instant success, all that stuff. I'm not really surprised by the talk about firing Tomlin, by the way. That doesn't shock me at all. I mean, people in Pittsburgh have been trying to get rid of him for a while, but like, our guy at PZP is already talking about how Adam Gase is going to get fired.
One shocks me. He hasn't had Sam Darnold for, like, if you had Luke Falk, you're not going to win games. It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
What do you want him to do?
Right. And I thought, you know, I think Jay Gruden should be thankful to be getting out of DC. Like, that is such a, that situation is an unbelievable dumpster fire mess. I think he should be happy to be getting out of there. You know, I there's a little bit of rumbling about your guy Flores, but what is he supposed to do? He has the worst roster in the NFL. And I mean, no disrespect, but you guys have a lot of money to spend. You're going to have a ton of draft capital. It's going to get hugely improved in one season, which is hard to do in the NFL next year. But what are we expecting here? You know,
the Flores one tilts me to no end. It's not even as a Dolphins fan. That's just pure. Just what are you guys talking about? He has no one on that team really. Like, there's a couple of guys obviously, but it's bad. It's really bad. And like you said, they've already traded away what was good for the most part to get that draft capital. They can make a whole new, really, really good team coming in the next season. I don't know how, like, when you sign a new head coach with what's going on in Miami, how do you not already have like a 3 to 4 year plan and say, okay, it's going to be rough and we're going to stick with you for at least this long, but you need to show us something by this point type thing. It's crazy.
I think, look at this. Andrew Luck visiting the Colts facility.
Oh, no way.
I don't like that.
I don't either. Like, come on. No, don't do that to him.
What
don't
are you do doing, Brissette. Man?
Brissette's been playing well. Do not do that.
I think he went to talk to Brissette. I think that's what it was. But
okay, let's hope so. Don't be starting to pull that foolishness. Keep that devil voodoo out of there.
I don't know about all that. But, you look at these teams that haven't had success. I mean, the Jets are 0-4, Dolphins are 0-4, Bengals 0-5. And it's funny because I haven't heard anything about Zach Taylor. You know,
no, they're loving him there.
Yeah, and they're 0-5. I mean, look, you talk about one of the worst rosters. There's not a lot he can do there. Denver being 1-4, and then you go to the NFC. Obviously, Jay Gruden already got fired, which, like I said, I think is a blessing in disguise.
Denver's actually almost fireable if they want to pick anybody. Out of all the teams that people are claiming fireable, Denver at least has a few things. It's
right.
Not great, but they have things, and they've been embarrassing.
Right, yeah, yeah, but see, then they go and they beat the Chargers on the road, true, which really, you know, it wasn't really a road game for them. I don't know if you saw that, but
never like, is. It's never is in L.A.
Dude is going to look like Three Rivers in there, you know. But Vic Fangio, I didn't understand them hiring him in the first place. Kind of like I didn't get Adam Gase, but I think when you hire a guy, a coach, you got to give him 3 years. I think that's, I mean, if you're the Steelers, you just give him 20 years and see how they do. But I think you got to give him at least three. And, you know, the Falcons being 1-4, Dan Quinn is a Super Bowl coach, and they're talking about firing him. And, you know, the Cardinals, I haven't heard anything about Kingsbury getting canned at all.
No, which is kind of surprising.
But they're 1-3-1, so they do have the tie. So we can't forget about the tie, of course.
True.
Moving back towards these games here, Bubba, San Francisco's on the road at L.A. against the Rams. The Rams are 3-point favorites, 50.5. The Welsh is convinced the Niners are losing this game. And he brought up great points, too. I mean, two offensive linemen down for the Niners and Kyle Juszczyk, and he's been huge in that San Francisco run game. So it's not adding up very well for the Niners, but the Rams defense has looked not good at all. So that's why you put this game one of three over 50 points on the over. So how do you see this one going?
And another thing is I saw a stat, Sean McVay on more than a normal 7-day rest period is like Andy Reid type stuff. It's ridiculous how good he's been game planning for that long, getting his players healthy. Give me the Rams in the over. I don't think it's a blowout by any means. I still think the Niners will be fine. The loss of Juszczyk is very, very big, but Rams over for me.
Tevin Coleman rush yards, I set a kind of low 70. He had a huge game against the Browns, obviously not playing the Browns, though. So how do you see this one going?
I like this number a lot. I'm going to take the under just because I still think Breida gets his and they might need to throw it a little bit. I do like what we saw from Coleman last week, though. It was pretty good.
Robert Woods receiving yards, I'm going to put it at 90. Niners secondary is bad, but it's tough for a quarterback to get to one Mississippi, get that ball out.
Yeah, with Bosa coming down, you throw it there. But I'll take the over, especially if Cooks is out. Big over for Woods.
And then Todd Gurley touches. I'm going to put it at 17. You know, I saw a lot of people, oh, he had a contusion. They're panicking a little bit. But last week, on Thursday night, on short rest, he had the highest percentage of touches that he's had so far this season. I'm just double checking here. He had 67 out of 72 snaps, good for 93%. So I'm done being worried about Todd Gurley until he gets really hurt, misses a game, or winds up with fewer than 10 touches. I'm just done being worried about him. The Rams are going to score points, and he's going to get in the end zone. I'm not. And he scored twice last week. So 17 touches. What do you think?
I'm going to take the under. You gave a great speech there. You really did, Coach Boggs, but I'm going to take the under.
Come on.
No, I think he's actually more banged up than we think. I think it's his knee, not a contusion.
All right. Well, he missed Wednesday. It's veteran rest day anyway. Atlanta at Arizona. Atlanta favored by 2.5 points, 51.5. I think this might be the highest scoring game in the NFL this year. And that's including the 55-45 game we've already had. So
there's zero defense being played here. It's going to be a 7-on-7 game. give me Arizona in the over.
Arizona
wins outright.
Oh, over Atlanta.
Have you seen Atlanta play?
Have you seen the Cardinals play?
Hey, they have a tie at home.
They had to come back. Well, they had to wait for
they beat the Bungles.
Speaking of bad coaching, they had to wait for Patricia's. It wasn't even him. I can't remember who it was. One of the coordinators called a timeout that allowed them to climb back in that game because the Lions could have run it out. Matt Ryan passing yards 315.
Yeah, I'll take the over on that one. Like you said, there's going to be a lot of points and a lot of passing in this game.
And you mentioned it, and I've been watching it as well. Kyler Murray has been rushing the ball more, so I'm going to put his rush yards against the Falcons at 60.
Yeah, I'll take the over. I think he's going to keep scrambling and running like crazy, and he's had like one or two big runs a game, so over.
If I put it at 75?
You'd be a lot closer, yes.
Okay.
That'd be a tough decision right there. That'd be real close.
He's going over 100 rush yards this week. I'm calling.
I love it. I love it because that's why I think he's a sneaky GPP play, because everyone wants Matt Ryan in that game, and rightfully so, but don't sleep on Kyler Murray.
How about Larry Fitzgerald receiving yards? And it's been, you know, this has been sneakily disappointing because he has, he keeps getting catches, but after the first two weeks were huge for him. And then the last three, he caught a touchdown 3 weeks ago. And in the last two games, it's been like 5 for 45 and 6 for 51. He's been progressively slowing down. Kirk is coming back this week. So I'm going to set his receiving yards at 75. I want to see him get bumped back up. What do you think about that one?
I would love to take the over here, but I'm going to take the under. I'm with you. He's going to get the catches. The PPR goodness will be there. But with Kirk returning, I think you're going to see the under on this one.
He's just got to get in the end zone to be effective, yep. Right? So,
yep, pretty much.
The Cowboys at the Jets. The Cowboys favored by 7. This line actually went down. It was 7.5 earlier when I saw it. 44.5. Sam Darnold, of course, coming back. How do you see this one going?
J-E-T-S, Jets, ooh, Jets, Jets. They're not going to win, but they're going to cover the 7.
And how about the 44.5?
I will take the over. I think that Darnold and company are going to move the ball a little better than people think.
Man. Okay. Zeke rush yards at 85.
I'll take Zeke on the over. I think they're going to pound the living heck out of Zeke this week.
Le'Veon Bell touches. I'm going to put it at 22. I think he's had at least 22 in every game.
Yeah, he's had 40% of the touches for the Jets, and that continues here. He will go over 22 in this game.
Is he going to break down?
I hope not. I hope not, because I love watching him play. I know you used to love watching him play, so I hope not.
He's still fun to watch. I just don't like him, you know. I mean,
and it's like the Dodgers.
I mean, it's less about him leaving Pittsburgh. Like, I knew that was going to happen. It was him coming in late for that playoff game against Jacksonville, where we needed all hands on deck, you know. And it's just like the same stuff with AB at the end of the year. You know, the game against Baltimore in week 17 was a playoff game for them, and they won it without Antonio Brown. He's wearing his stupid fur coat on the sideline, and you know, just didn't get the help that they needed to get in the playoffs. And that's what happens when you don't set yourself up right. So Amari Cooper receiving yards, I put it at 150. He had 200 last week. He's been insane. The Jets are not good. You're picking the over in this game. I think it's going to be a ton for Cooper.
That is a really good number. Wow. I'm going to take the under, but that's a tough one. I think Michael Gallup has a monster game.
Yeah, Welsh likes Gallup this game too, which means it'll be Cobb. So I pick Cooper. You guys pick Gallup. That means
it'll be Jason Witten with 3 red zone touchdowns. Oh
God, it better not be. I'm so sick of Jason Witten. Tennessee at Denver. Denver is favored by 2 in this one. They look good last week, but they look terrible in all of their games combined for the rest of the year. 40.5 is the over. What do you see in this one?
Give me Denver and the under in this one. It's going to be an ugly, ugly football game.
I like it. Cortland Sutton catches 5.
I'll take the over. He'll get 6 or 7 for like 70 yards, maybe.
Love it. Derrick Henry rush yards, 95.
I'm going to go over on that one. I think he carries it 25 plus times. They're just going to keep pounding the rock.
Phillip Lindsay total yards at 90 against the Titans.
Really good number, but I'll take the under. That Titans defense is good. And to keep my under overall, he's got to go under 90 yards.
Yeah, you know, they held Fournette to negative yards until really late in the fourth quarter in that Thursday night game. So they've been playing very, very well. And I'm with you on the under in that one, too. So moving to Sunday night football, my Steelers are on the road against the Chargers. And I'm sure it'll look like old Three River Stadium in that shoebox that they play in there. The Chargers are favored by a full touchdown, 7 points in this game. 41.5 is the over. It looks like I'm assuming right now, as we're recording this, it's going to be Devlin Hodges. So
how is Rudolph already back at practice? Is there not a concussion protocol anymore?
No, he was in concussion protocol, but he was in limited practice. Like, they're allowed to go through not hard drills or anything, but like they're allowed to stand there with a helmet on and, you know, go through read progressions and stuff like that. It's like he's at practice. Right.
But he's not at practice.
He's not at practice. He's off on one of the side fields. They're going there's no one rushing him or anything like that. So
gotcha. OK, I was like, holy crap. When I saw that.
Yeah. I mean, he looked like Weekend at Bernie's when they were dragging
him. They had to take his face mask off, for crying out loud.
Well, they didn't have to. They did it because they weren't sure if he was breathing.
If he was alive. So,
yeah, for real.
It was bad. It was bad.
I don't think it was an ugly, dirty hit, though.
No.
It's a legal hit.
It was football.
It's a legal hit, but it wasn't dirty. Yeah, yeah.
That's all it was. Yeah, it was tough.
My guy Earl Thomas, even though he is a stupid rapper. So how do you see this one going?
I'll take Pittsburgh +7 and the over.
That's exactly what I did, too. Juju receiving yards, 75.
Give me the over with that beat-up Charger secondary and the fact that it looks like your duck man can throw the ball a little bit.
Melvin Gordon, total yards, I'm going to put it at 80. I think he was 38 last week, 31-7, something like that.
They're going to keep trying to give him the rock, but I'm going to go under because they're going to keep dunking it off to Eckler. That's why I said at the beginning, Eckler is still going to be valuable, folks.
And if you look at all the numbers for Pittsburgh's defense, like, their defense is really good. You know, it's just the offense keeps going three and out. So the defense is on the field a ton. I think they can win this game. Welsh seems to think that's a joke, but I think they can win this game. Keenan Allen catches. I'm going to put it at 7.
It's going to be an over. He got shut down like he usually does against Denver, and he's going to come back and have another monster game this week.
And the Steelers just don't adjust, right? I mean,
they're going to probably cover him with the linebacker.
Oh, again. God. If Devin Bush is covering Keenan Allen in this game, a rookie linebacker who's short.
Yep.
Keith Butler needs to be fired immediately after this game. Like, let him on the bus. Don't let him on the plane. Find your own way home. You've been paid enough money. Get the hell out of here. I don't want you on the bus. I don't want you talking to any more of our players. It should, like, if he's moving around, put Mike Hilton on him. Put Minka Fitzpatrick on him. I don't care.
That's who should be shadowing, at least. Like, he right. should be on it.
Right. I mean, if that happens, I don't know who's covering Mike Williams, but, you know. That's why we pick the over, right?
Exactly. That's why you pass rush Phillip Rivers. Just don't throw it up and pray.
That's right. Detroit at Green Bay. The Packers are favored by 4. 47 is the over in this game, but Detroit coming off the bye here.
Yeah, this is a sneaky one, I think, because Detroit's better than people think. They're not great, but they're better than they think. Going into Lambeau on a Monday night, give me Green Bay in this one. And give us a nice Monday night game. So I'll take the over in this. Maybe a 31-24.
I like it. Aaron Rodgers pass yards. I'm going to set it at 265.
I'll take the over. And I hope a lot of it's still dunking it down to Aaron Jones. Make me very happy.
Kerryon Johnson total yards at 90.
I'll take the under on that one.
Under. And Jimmy Graham receiving yards. I'm going to put it at 65. They're still missing Davante Adams. I think he can be huge in this game.
Yeah, with no Davante Adams, the red zone target share for Jimmy Graham goes through the roof. So I'll give you the over on that one. I think he becomes more of he's just dropped a lot of passes so far. If he starts catching those, he can get over 65 real easy.
Like Nelson Aguilar dropping all those passes. That was so great.
That was awesome.
It's been a fun football season for everything except my Steelers. You know, it's been a fun one so far. But that is going to wrap it up for us. And you can find us on the Twitter at Bogman Sports for me, at Is It the Welsh for the Welsh, and at BD Entrick for KC Bubba. And we will see you guys next week. Good luck with your fantasy teams and your bets, and hit us up on Twitter if you need anything else. Take it easy, everybody.